This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 plus years in that games media combined. Actually, be 6 years now, as of this week. 6 years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join in future conversations, please head on over to our socials, our Facebook, Discord, Instagram, Twitter, all the links in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures where you can watch us record this show live. If you want to support the show, you can share the conversation. You can tell your friends, you can tell your family about this little PlayStation pod. You know, be sure to go to like your podcast services, get 5-star ratings and all that junk. If you want to support us financially, you can. Patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit without logos on it. Now, Max, we want to address something straight off the bat here. We did the same thing for the young and the wrestlers, but I feel we need to mention it here as well. We do understand that in the world right now, shit's fucked. There's a lot of things going on right now, things that are way more important than some random PlayStation podcast. But it's a situation, like, I believe that we are in a time of change. This is where things will be happening around the world, specifically when it comes to the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, both Max and I are big supporters of that shit. Damn right, everyone should be treated the same. Everyone should be treated fairly, and, you know, not abused or mistreated or, you know, violated, whatever the term you want to use, for the color of their skin. We love everyone. Everyone's awesome. Within reason. Some people are shit. But most people are pretty awesome. All right? So we want to get that out of the bat. Because I understand, like, it's difficult for us. We're two white guys running a show. This is not the time for us to be talking about these things. This is time for those other voices to be heard. So that's why we're going to talk about PlayStation today. We don't really touch upon those in any other ways. All you know is that we stand with you. We support you. And fuck yeah, you do what you got to do. So this is a big moment in time.
Yeah.
Ideally, change will happen here. Anything you want to jump in there, Max?
No, I think you pretty much summed it up really
well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, dude.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah?
Yeah, all things considered.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Well, we said, once again, you know, dad update. Babies.
Oh, babies. Jeez. So, apparently my five-month-old child is getting her molar. Or her first molar through.
Yeah, James didn't get him for like a year.
Which is apparently super bizarre. I was reading an article and they're like, oh, get ready of wave two of teething. I'm like, where was wave one? So that explains why she's been so miserable for the last week or so. Because my wife was putting Bonjala on her gums. She's like, oh, I can feel a lump right at the back of her mouth. I think she might have an ulcer. I'm like, oh, well, let's take her to the doctor. The doctor's like, nah, man, molar. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, because my son, James, like, he didn't get his teeth until like much later. Like, he didn't have a full, like a full mouth of teeth, you know, at his first birthday, which apparently he's supposed to have more than there by then. But, you know, so like the difficulty you're going to have is she's going to be too young to understand. Like, or to explain her pain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. You know, that's going to put balls.
She started on solid foods, which is fun.
Mole's going to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Turns out she loves the nanny.
Loves bananas?
Loves bananas.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Bananas are minging. The Reverend Park in the chat goes, he didn't get his kid until much later. Technically the truth. You're not wrong.
We hope.
We hope.
Yeah. We hope. He comes back from daycare one day. I've adopted my friend. this is my son now. Other than that, week's been pretty crazy.
Mm.
I mean, you know, just work stuff.
Yeah. Working's all right. Yeah, like, my week's been pretty all right as well. I had an early week this week, a 4-day week, because my workplace is very kind with the long weekend coming up, so I get Monday off, and they're like, you want Friday off too? I'm like, yep. So I had Friday off as well. So I've really enjoyed that. That part I'm a big fan of. Yeah. So additionally, like at work, we've just been granted a second site here in Geelong. So we now have, we'll have two sites. We'll have one in the center of town and one up in the Belmonts area.
And oh, cool.
There's a big mansion out there, which Jen, you own. There's a house on that land. So we've now have a house that we're just going to deck the fuck out, and we'll have individual rooms, so we'll have our themed rooms.
So we're hosting murder mystery parties there?
It certainly could happen at some point. We'll have like, you know, a dedicated fantasy role playing room, and we'll deck it out in like a dungeon or a forest or something like that.
That's cool.
And then we'll have a space themed room, and then we'll have recording studios, and because, you know, with the online stuff, that's going to keep rolling even past pandemic. So we'll keep that up, and we'll get that all set up, and we're going to have a big wargaming room and a big board game table, and because, you know, we want to get into like sort of terrain building and 3D printing, so that way for those that do the RPGs, they can create their character in three dimensions and then bring it into the game. So yeah, with the potential we can do there is fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. But yeah, so then yeah, that seems pretty cool in terms of getting that organized. I'm doing all right. Ryan, get less fat update, because we forgot to do one last week. I'm 16 kilos down now. It's a little bit more than last week, which is fantastic, which is the same amount of weight as my child. So yes, I've now lost my child in weight. Which is very, very cool. So in addition to the man shakes that I've been doing for the longest time, I've now brought in some exercise as of this week. I have jumped on the yoga train.
Okay.
I'm now doing DDP yoga, which is Diamond Dallas Page, who's an ex-wrestler. So he's sort of, the hook that got me into it.
Okay.
Because it's like, all right, I know DDP. And then I kind of get there. He's been doing it for years. I've been wanting to do it for a while. And then some other people I know that sort of jumped on it. I was like, I'm going to jump on this with them. You know, like I'll have that support network of people do it. And it's actually really helped. Like I've seen, with the shakes alone, like I was slowly, the decline was slowly starting to waver out a little bit, but with the addition of the yoga, it's like, oh, okay, cool. And it's going back down again in like a bit more of a steady pace.
Yep.
Which is cool. And it's fun. Like it's not painful because I've never done exercise in my entire life. Like I've never intentionally done exercise. I've never planned, never done like, I'm going to go do a workout today. I've never done that before.
Mm.
And this is it. It's the first time. And I like it.
Mm.
Just get up earlier in the morning for work. Do it. Half an hour.
That's all right.
Off my day.
Sounds good.
Yeah. You know, get the stretches in, your lunges, and like, you know, other various moves.
Poses
and stuff. Mm. But what I love about it, I think this is probably the part that like entertains my child brain, is that it's like, because he's a wrestler, he's renamed some of them into like wrestling based things.
Okay.
So when you're lying on your back and doing the breathing exercise, that's not like the lying down and breathing, that's a pinfall position. And then when you know in like a lot of yoga and like Tai Chi and stuff, they sort of like push out.
Mm.
Yeah, so because for him, you know, being Diamond Dallas Page, his big hand, his signature was the diamond symbol. So everything is, you know, that's the diamond cutter. So you do that. So there's one move where you sort of, you know, you start low and then you work your way up and then you stretch and then you like fucking Hulk out. Like part of it is literally like tensing all your muscles into like a Hulk position. And then, you know, the warrior position where you stand with your arms out. Yeah. So it's not that, it's the ultimate warrior. You know, an ex-wrestler. It's fucking genius.
Ah, of course.
It's so good. There's a couple little things that are very wrestling related, which makes me laugh really hard. Mad Dog! He's in here. What's going on? Doo-doo poo! Chris says, we should hit the gym when they reopen. Fuck yeah, we should. That's the other thing I'm thinking as well. So this is like stepping stone into what would, in theory, become that next step. Because my goal isn't to bulk. I don't want to get, like, muscly. I just want to lose weight. I just want to get thin. And then, you know, if like there's some strength that can come with that, fucking A. But I'm not going to be like, you know.
He says that 6 months later.
I'm fucking jacked. Could happen. How's your weight loss journey going?
Mine's all right. I'm very similar from what I was last, not that we talked about last week, similar to last week. Nothing's much changed. Still doing the shakes, still doing my 10 plus K a day.
So bonkers.
I mean, it helps when I work on my feet.
Yeah.
Literally carrying around extra weight because I walk around with, you know, backpack on, vacuum strapped to me. Yeah, I do like, you know, what, 15 Ks of vacuuming a day?
That's so much vacuuming.
There's steps everywhere at work. So, you know, I get to do steps and, you know, I'm sweating by the end of it. It's good.
That is pretty handy, actually.
Plus, they run the heaters overnight, so it's disgustingly hot.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. Speaking of that, like, weird that the building's empty and they run heaters. That's fucking weird. But, like, here, so I was doing the yoga in the lounge room, but because I've done it earlier in the morning the other days, like, so yesterday when I had the day off, so I did it a bit later in the day, normally not everyone's still asleep in the house. My wife's asleep, my son's asleep, cool. And, like, we leave the heater on low overnight, so it's not too gnarly. So I'll do it in the lounge and it's cool. But because I did it later in the day, the heater's on. It was a shitty day. Heater was pumping. Here I am standing right under this fucking vent doing stretches and shit, getting all sweaty. And that heat is just pounding me. Mm. Like, it was like, it was awesome. Apparently, that's a good thing. You should totally do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough about fucking losing weight and stuff because, you know, it's not what this show's about. Let's get into section. Oh, wait, have you been playing this week?
I've only played one thing this week.
Which is?
Valorant.
Oh, nice.
So, new game from Riot Games.
Yeah, so this is the one that was on, like, PC for a while and then
yeah, so released. Yeah, so it's been in, like, beta for ages. And, yeah, it was, you know, properly released this week.
Mm.
So, I picked that up and it's been great fun. It's like a Counter-Strike mixed with Overwatch.
There's a lot of people that would enjoy that combo.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Very nice.
I'm horrible at first-person games on PC, though.
Oh, really? The mouse keyboard on Warfare?
Yeah, I mean, you can plug in controller. It does have controller support, but you get pooped on by people playing on mouse and keyboard because it's just so much better.
Yeah, it is a better way to play, but it's a whole different muscle.
Mm.
Like, it's... I can remember when I...
Like, I'm not horrible, but I'm not great.
Oh, I'm trash.
I'm much better on with a controller.
I'm garbage on controller too. Don't get me wrong. I'm pretty shit overall. But yeah, so I finally made the call. We talked about it last week. Made the decision.
You finally got Maneater.
I picked up Maneater.
And?
So I put about 3 hours or something into it. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's cool. So for many people, he would be the character from Archer.
Yep.
But to me, he's Dr. Spaceman from 30 Rock. So have Chris Parnell as the voice, which is awesome. So the game in it's I'll give you the elevator pitch for it. So it is a what they refer to as a shark PG. So it's an RPG as a shark where you play a pup and then you grow and you evolve and you become this gnarly fucking shark. So the game is set within a reality TV show. Think. Like American Pickers or Swamp People, those sort of American style shows like Ice Road Truckers, yeah, yeah. You know, where they're like, they follow a group of people as they go and do things. And that show is called Maneater. And there's a gentleman named Scaly Pete, who's the main character of this show. He is the one that like captures your mother and, you know, kills her and then cuts her open and finds you, scars you up, throws you in the water. And then your entire game is all about you getting revenge on that dude. Which is horrible to think the sharks can want revenge because we have mistreated them very poorly. Like, we've treated them very poorly for the longest time. Yeah, so then as you play, you sort of, it's all region-based. It is kind of a collectathon a little bit. They've taken like that same Assassin's Creed style, like here's a map, here's all these things on it, go collect them, go do whatever, right? Mm. So that part's kind of fun. I enjoy that. So you swim around and you chomp and it's like, you know, go eliminate 10 of this or go take this big semi little boss over here or go kill 20 humans, and which is fucking horrifying because you go, because a lot of they're all on the beach or they're all on like a pier and apparently this shark didn't get fucked. You can jump on the pier and then just belly flop your way, chomp someone, and then jump in the water.
Yeah, I've watched a little bit of gameplay, and I've seen them like jump over and eat people as they're on jet skis and.
Well, yeah, so because like so you have hunters, right, and then you can gain infamy. So as the shark, if you cause too much human damage, they will send hunters out for you. Right, but the best thing about those hunters, you can just fuck them up as well. Like they'll have harpoon guns, or they have almost like mini bosses. There's like 10 or 12 bounty hunters, like the sort of key hunters. And if you take them out, you get access to different evolutions, you know, for your shark. So if you kill enough cuff humans, hunters come. If you kill enough hunters, the bounty hunter comes. And it's fun because, like, you'll get underwater and you're dodging all the harpoons and then you just, like, breach that water and just fucking chomp him off the jet ski and just keep going. You know, it's so much fun. Like, yeah. Once you really get in that motion, then eventually you can just sort of, like, either you die or you can, you know, lay low long enough for him to sort of go away. But, you know, it's cool. Yeah, so... As you level up, you sort of find new areas and then you know, unlock crates and then you go explore these cool things. like, it's all right. It's not exceptional, but I'm really enjoying it for what it is.
Yeah.
Because if someone pitched the idea
it
of
it seems
like
a game that doesn't take itself overly serious.
Yeah, and that's kind of the best thing about it. So it's like, yeah, it takes itself serious enough. It's like, well, this is an RPG as a shark, and here is kind of, there are rules to it. It's not complete bonkers silly, but it's also pretty fucking silly.
Just some whimsical fun.
Yeah, like just landmarks and stuff you can find throughout the water. Like you find a plug for this lake. You find literally a pineapple under the ocean, you know, and you find there's a reference to Arrested Development in there. Like there's a banana stand down there. You know, I think when you type, it's like, there's always money here is the name of that location. You know, it's like there's a bunch of cool little things you can find, cool little nods, and that part I really enjoyed. But, so it takes off serious enough to be like, it's an RPG, these are the beats, this is what you're working with, cool. But then it's also like, yeah, you can flop around on the ocean, and then you can get an evolution where you get electric teeth, or you get an electric tail, so you just chomp someone and they get fucking shocked, and they get chomp damage. And then you just go and randomly fight alligators and shit, because, you know, you start off in a bayou, and then you sort of spread out, and it's awesome. Game's pretty cool. I'm very keen. I'm doing my best to see it through. If you look over there, Max, you'll see that I pulled Prey out, because I realized I never finished Prey. I really enjoyed Prey, so I think I might start it again. It's been my plan for next week. I think I might jump back into Prey. I remember it being really cool, which is super weird because right now I'm playing Maneater and I hate ocean. I hate deep water. That's a big fear of mine. All my fears are essentially extensions of fear of heights. Right, fear of falling. So ocean, it's falling for a very long time and not breathing. Space, it's forever falling. So I'm going from one game where I spend the entire time at the depths of the ocean chomping on things to a game where I'm like, I'm just going to float around in fucking space for a while. The hell's wrong with me?
How long have we got?
All right, let's get to the next session called Inform the Players. We tell you that what happened this week in PlayStation. Look, once again, let's just kick this motherfucker off. We didn't get the PS5 reveal event this week.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. That's what this week was supposed to be about. Let's get into that.
Oh, you want to kick it off that way? Yeah. Okay, cool. Well,
that's the big thing out of last week, so we'll go with that.
All right. Why did I put it at the bottom of the list? So, obviously, Sony postponed their PS5 games reveal event set to be broadcast on the 4th of June. PlayStation has updated the description of the announcement video for the event. It now reads, quote, updated, this event has been postponed. We'll be in touch with a new date soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this happened probably like 48 hours before, maybe even slightly longer. And that's interesting. Like, look, similar to what we said at the start of the show, you know, this is not the time to be talking about these things. This is time for other voices to be heard. So they've made that correct call to step away, and then they'll come back to it at a later date, which is certainly the best move from a sensitivity standpoint, as well as, I guess, if you want to look at cynically, as well as a PR perspective. I think they've probably made the right call here. The only thing that I think they've made the right call. And you're on the same
boat. Yeah, I think they made the right call to delay.
Yeah, the only issue that I see is in terms of, yes, they've made the right move here, but when is it going to be okay? Like, I you know, once again, I don't see this changing anytime soon. The circumstances, I mean, as in, like, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, because it's going to take a little while to facilitate the change that they want to, or that we want to see. But, you know, there's this difficulty of, like, there's people that are working and, like, this announcement needs to happen. There's certain things that need to be done. Yeah. However, I do appreciate them making that call, and I appreciate them putting the right thoughts in mind. However, I have such a cynicism around companies and them making these PR statements around social events. So, you know, cultural moments. You know, it's very interesting that they're all very vocal right now about this specific thing. But they weren't vocal come Hong Kong stuff, if we remember earlier in the year. Like, you know, if we see companies like Riot, if we see companies like Activision suddenly be like, you know, yeah, all, you know, Black Lives Matter. It's like, yeah, but what about all the fucking horrible shit you've just okayed in China?
It's interesting. It's interesting you bring that up, because obviously China, it's so hard to develop and release anything in China if you don't have their... their backing, because everything's so what I'm looking for,
communist.
Sure. You know, everything's got to go through the right channels, and if you don't play ball their way, they just cut you off. Mm. And China's such a huge market, it's, you know.
Well, because it's even...
Because obviously Blizzard fell in that trap. Was it Blizzard last year in that trap?
Because even on top of that, like, the same thing as, like, Star Wars, right? Or Lucasfilm. Like, they've come out, and Disney, they've come out being like, fuck yeah, you know, because John Boyega has been incredibly vocal right now over in the UK, and which is amazing. And yet they're coming out being like, yeah, we support John Boyega, we support his mission. Like, oh yeah, what about that time that you removed him from the fucking poster for Force Awakens in order for it to sell it to China? Yeah. Like, does that match up with what you're saying right now?
Mm.
No, it doesn't. Mm. And that's what I said. I've got that cynicism personally, but...
So, following Sony's postponement of theirs, a lot of other live shows have been delayed this week, all for the same reason. So, Guerrilla Collective Indie Game Show was originally scheduled to take place this weekend, has been delayed by 1 week, running from the 13th to the 15th of June. Future Game Show was postponed to the 13th of June. Daniel Dawkins, content director of games and film at GamesRadar, said, quote, "While we're all excited to bring you our first Future Game Show, we feel it's important to leave space for more important conversations right now. This is a time for our industry to stand together with the Black Lives Matter movement, and we're proud to do so." So they delayed theirs by a week as well. So that was supposed to happen, I think, yesterday, but it's been delayed till the 13th of June. Cyberpunk 2077 Night City Wire livestream has been postponed to the 25th of June. CD Projekt Red have made a statement, quote, "We decided to move the Night City Wire to June 25th. We're still looking forward to sharing new information about Cyberpunk 2077, but more important discussions are happening right now, and we want them to be heard. We wholeheartedly stand against racism, intolerance, and violence. Black Lives Matter."
Mm-hmm.
So that's three separate things that have all been postponed. EA Play's live stream was due couple of days from now, on Thursday the 11th of June, but that has also been delayed by a week with the same thing. There's more important messages that need to be heard right now. Ours can wait.
Yeah, true, of course. And that also goes for, like, just us doing this show as well. You know, like, really?
Yeah.
but yeah. No, it's good. It is 100% a good thing. It's certainly not a bad thing that everyone's sort of taking that step.
The big one, obviously, this week would be Call of Duty. So if you're playing Modern Warfare or Warzone this week, before the game starts, you will receive a black screen with the quote, "The systemic inequalities our community experiences are once again center stage. Call of Duty and Infinity Ward stand for equality and inclusion. We stand against racism and injustice our black community endures. Until change happens and Black Lives Matter, we will never truly be the community we strive to be." On the back end of this, the developer has also announced initiatives to crack down on racism in its games. As part of a statement issued earlier this week, the studio has said, quote, "There is no place for racist content in our games. This is an effort we began with the launch, and we need to do a better job. We're issuing thousands of bans of racist and hate-oriented names, but we know we have a lot more to do." It went on to announce a spate of moderation-related improvements, including permanent bans to root out repeat offenders and changes to its reporting system to increase the number of bans per hour a player can report. One could argue that these are all steps that should have been taken earlier, but they are better late than never.
Yeah, as I said before, it's just a little bit fucked when it comes to Activision getting on this train. You know what I mean? And I appreciate them having this message when it comes to every time you boot up Call of Duty now, that's the first thing you see, and I think that's great.
Mm.
However, you know, as you said, the community within Call of Duty aren't the most lovely fucking people. They never have been. It's a weird balance.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know, the banning and stuff's cool, but why only now?
Yeah.
Like, if this is how they stand and this is what their thoughts are, and, you know, presumably they've been anti all these things the longest time, is from what they're saying, right?
Mm.
Why was this allowed until now? Shouldn't there be like a rule, like, to remove all this shit earlier?
I mean, granted,
I understand people change, and, you know, like, things like, is there times of change like this, like right now, are putting those things forefront, therefore that change, that allow that change to happen. Mm. And that's brilliant, but it's also, and, you know, think people representation of like 5 years ago is different to representation of now, but it's, you know, times change. But
In other fun news, Australia has fined PlayStation $3.5 million. So the Federal Court of Australia has ordered the penalty, quote, for making false and misleading representations on its website and in dealings with Australian consumers about their Australian consumer law rights. Quote, consumer guarantee rights do not expire after a digital product has been downloaded, and it certainly does not disappear after 14 days or any other arbitrary date claimed by a game store or a developer, ACCC Chair Rod Sims states. Quote, consumers buy digital products online have exactly the same rights as they would if they made the purchase at a physical store.
Fuck, I love ACCC sometimes.
Like, oh, yeah.
In terms of refunds and guidelines and the ability to exchange, ACCC has been on point, actually. Mm. Like, because they, you know, remember previously they fucked up Steam. Similar, like, we didn't have a refund policy. Like, well, you fucking need to if you want to sell in Australia. I'd be like, yeah, but technically we don't sell in Australia because we use United, you know, we sell in Australian, you know, US dollars. Like, and if you want to run here in Australia, you better change that to fucking Australian dollars. And they're like, fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did. And we saw a moment of change. And I love the wording here. It's like, no, because you downloaded or played it for 2 hours, like, no, that's fucking bullshit. Either you get a refund or you don't. Like, of course, there's asterisks here. You know, it's not as simple as like, well, I don't want it, so I've got to return it.
Yeah,
it's the same as can't just return something because you don't want it.
The
like,
game has to be fundamentally broken. So I ran into this issue late last year. Whenever Anthem came out, basically, I bought it digitally, and every time I booted the stupid game, it would blue screen.
Yeah.
And crash. And I'm like, hey, can I get a refund? And they're like, no, you downloaded the game. I'm like, yeah, but I have to download it to see if it works. Like, how can, you know, it doesn't work. The game's literally not working.
Yeah.
No, but we can see you've played it. I booted it for it to crash. Like, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not our problem. Apparently, it is their problem now.
Yeah, which is awesome. It's very, very cool. Like, I do like this response because it said, I completely agree with that. You know, it's like, it's more because like there can still be a return policy around X amount of days, you know, because that is the standard with stores. I think it's 30 days for most stores. So in terms of like an arbitrary date, like, yeah, okay, well, there has to be a date on it. There's got to be some hard guideline rules here. Same as when we talk about like the Australian ratings board, everyone has an issue with them in terms of video game space, but they have very clearly defined guidelines, and I presume ACCC would have that. So it doesn't appear to be mentioned here in this story, but it is 100% there, because it might be like, well, you know, you can't play it for like 100 hours, but it's broken.
Yeah. Other Sony news this week: the US and EU PlayStation blogs have merged. Sid Schumann also acknowledges that the European and North American PS blogs have been rolled into one, saying simply that it is, quote, it just makes sense. One important quote we can pull from this is from the blog post will, quote, reflect regional info for North America and the UK in one place whenever it is possible. In other words, any regional differences in the PlayStation Store sales, for example, should be apparent with each update.
I appreciate this because they have been talking about this unified vision, like it's really encompassing worldwide PlayStation, and this has been going on for a little while with just something as simple as the sale. So everyone's having this type of sale at the same time. Obviously, the games vary from region to region, but there is a something universal around that, and that comes from even the change of like headquarters and stuff. So previously there was like a headquarters of PlayStation in the US and one in the UK and then one in Japan, and they've all kind of unified within as best they can, with mostly in America. So America is the big tentpole for PlayStation right now. Obviously, Japan's still big, but like all the big heads tend to work out of America from last I heard. Yeah, it's cool. It's all right. You know, each region still has their own difference in like PR, you know, with like Australian PR, New Zealand PR, whatever. So like, it's not entirely unified, but like having one location, because they're essentially posting the same shit in two locations. So why not have everyone go to one place?
It makes sense.
Except for when they don't give you the drop twice. Spoilers, there's no drop this week because they just haven't done it.
Yeah. So I'm excited about this one. Bloodborne could be coming to PC. So there's rampant rumors at the moment. Twitter user Slothmum claimed to have had the conversation, quote, confirmed by a very trusted source. They added, quote, I have a lot of faith in the company who's doing the port. You won't be disappointed. It genuinely is happening. This then kickstarted a tidal wave of teasers. Wario 64 later added, quote, play Bloodborne on PC with PlayStation Now, or wait a little longer. And we have Imran Khan followed with, quote, not going to comment specifically on Bloodborne on PC rumors, but suffice it to say, FromSoft fans probably have a lot of reasons to be very happy in the next 2 years.
Damn.
We also have, with the rumors kicking off earlier this week about the rumored Bloodborne on PC, it is also rumored to be getting a PlayStation 5 remaster along with its PC version, rumor has it that Bluepoint Games, in tandem with QLOC, will be helping doing the Bloodborne port for PS5.
Mm.
Bluepoint, obviously, being rumored to be doing the Demon's Souls remaster for PlayStation 5. Yeah, super keen.
The Soulsborne genre games are more your wheelhouse. I'll let you run on this. You can talk about what you're excited to win.
Well, the issue I had with Bloodborne was great. The issue I had with it was it did not run very well on the PlayStation hardware. Mm. Various frame rate issues and whatnot. And with a game that is as demanding and needing the accuracy or the dodge time that you need to avoid in its combat, it was rough. So having it come out on PC having it rumored to come out on PC and a remaster for PS5, give me that stable frame rate. Give me that goodness. I can't wait.
Look, I'm very pro moving, having some exclusives go to PC. I'm not super okay with it. Mostly because we're at a point where how much more money are they going to make? Like Bloodborne came out, 4 years ago now?
I mean, it's a... All the games that have been rumored to coming to PC are now the PlayStation hits that are $20.
Yeah, which means they've sold enough units to like they're profitable now. It's just whatever happens then, right? So if they move it to PC or they bring a copy of it to PC, A, that's an entire completely different demographic of people that have not been able to have a go at it finally having a go. And from all accounts, the people that are really hard on Soulsborne games, they're like, when I say hard as in like fucking hard, not like hard in terms of like they're on PC.
Yeah, I mean,
it's sort of the best place to play it, really.
Well,
right?
It also gives them this changing a little bit. A lot of the streams that I watch are all people doing either speed runs or what's known as randomizer runs on Bloodborne and Dark Souls and whatnot, where they've changed the entirety of the game where, you know, some drops are in different locations, enemies spawn in different locations, you'll walk into a boss arena expecting one boss, they'll give you a different one. And that's how they make those games fun for themselves once they've beaten it a few times. They're like, let's make the whole game random. So instead of fighting a normal skeleton at the start, it could be a boss fight.
Well, that would fuck you up real hard.
Oh, yeah, it's really funny. There's points in the game where sometimes you just get stuck and you can't progress because it's impossible to beat the thing that's blocking your way.
See, like, I love Bloodborne. Like, I didn't play until it was free on PS Plus, so, you know, mostly because Soulsborns aren't really my genre. But I really love the aesthetic of Bloodborne. I love, like, the whole Victorian 18th century feel. I love all the creatures and, like, the monsters that you fight. And the interaction of the Blunderbuss really is handy. So, when you allows you to do get that little bit of distance between you and the enemy, because, you know, just even wanted to get that back. It's faster, which is happier for me. Yeah. I love that faster game. I really enjoyed my time with it. I'm trash at it. Like, I think I got past the first... What's the first boss?
Ah, for Bloodborne. It's the...
the Reverend or something?
Technically, yes, but there's a boss that's shorter in, but yeah, it's the father.
Yeah. I think I bet him. I remember beating some smaller boss like before then on like some little walkway. He was a shit.
Yeah. Then.
But yeah, I might get back. But yeah, this is great. So it's a whole other market. Cool. Now with Bluepoint working on it, that's fascinating. Alongside what QSOR, whatever the hell they were.
QCOL, I think.
Yeah.
It was.
Which is cool. I appreciate that. But I think it's more likely that they were working on the port in order to learn how to make Demon Souls. It's the same way that... Well, who was it? Who did it first? I think it was... because I think because the Reverend Puck in the chat mentioned Sony learning from Bethesda with Skyrim putting on everything. Hashtag probably accidentally confirmed Skyrim for PS5. It could happen. But there was, who was it? I think it may have been Bethesda. Like they essentially ported Skyrim to the next generation just to learn how to do it. They had no intentions of releasing it, and then they were like, ah, fuck it, and they did it later.
Maybe.
Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe they're like, well, we did it to learn PS5. We'll see if we can port Bloodborne. Okay, that wasn't that hard. Well, let's apply what we've learned to Demon's Souls, which they're already working on in the background.
Mm.
Maybe it's a combined venture, and you know,
could be.
I don't know. I like the idea of it. I'm not against the idea of it at all. But it comes around to that idea of like, well, so are they not backwards? Is backwards compatibility not a thing? Are we still going to get remasters or remakes of you know, old games on the new generation in order to meet what this next console can do? I guess it's old enough now to probably get a little bit of work on it.
I mean, Demon's Souls is pretty old.
I was talking about Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Sorry. Demon's Souls make total sense because it's locked on PS3. And you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, that yawn really kicked me in the face. Knocked my wind out of me.
Let's see if this wakes you up then. Resident Evil 4 director has commented on the rumored remake. So earlier this year, VGC reported that Capcom is currently in the process of remaking Resident Evil 4, aiming for a 2022 release, so likely a PS5 title. In an interview with IGN, Mikami was asked how he feels about his work being remade by a new team. Quote, "As long as it turns out good, I have no issues with it."
Yeah. So we've talked about this a couple times in the past. You know, my stance on it is fuck yes. Give me all of that.
I'm still like, do we really need it? But I think everyone wants it. Well, it sounds like everyone wants it but me.
I think that there's reasons, because I was in a similar boat back in the day. Like, we were not talking about it. I'm like, well, what could they really do? All they really do is change the tank controls, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not really worth a remake. But then I thought about it. And then I thought about what Resident Evil 2 and 3 Remake have done. They've essentially retconned a bunch of Resident Evil lore. They've combined it, they've adjusted it, they've shifted it. And that's what they're doing here. I think they're readjusting the Resident Evil narrative. Because it's been going on for like 25 years or whatever, almost 30 years worth of Resident Evil, that they are looking at ways to tighten up. Because when you think about it, you've got the main seven games, but actually no, six games, because even seven was really a mild reboot and complete sort of change in terms of lore. So they've got the first six to rework, then they have all the spin-offs like, you know, Raccoon City, Resident Evil Zero, and then Code Veronica, and then Code Veronica Rex, and then like Revelations, and there's all this expanded Resident Evil lore. So it's messy as fuck. Like, if you're trying to follow that lore, it's chaos.
Mm.
And even then, like, if you look at Resident Evil 3 Nemesis on the PS1 compared to Resident Evil 2 on 4 on PlayStation 2, they were different. Like, there's not a connected narrative here. Where here, they have established that now. So when you play Resident Evil 3 Remake and you see Nemesis, like, infecting those people with the weird head fucking tentacle things that we saw in 4, they've created a connected thread between what is 2, 3, and 4, and potentially 7, because I think in time we'll see more of those sludgy black dude, you know, the black people in 7. Like, that will tie in some way. So yeah, they're just readjusting the Resident Evil narrative, which is not a bad thing, because when, you know, an example I used when I did episode of Dash Gamer podcast recently was Silent Hill. Like, Silent Hill 1, 2, and 3 were kind of this one thing, and then 4 was average, and then Downpour was shit, and Homecoming was shit, and Book of Memories was shit, and like they got kind of lost in this narrative that they sort of got muddled on, right? So like, when the idea of them rebooting 1 allows them to create a whole new timeline, a whole new like complete line of conversation when it comes to what this game's lore is going to be.
Well, like Reverend Puck's put in the chat, Square's goal with Final Fantasy VII merging all those games with Advent Children. So you've got, you know, Final Fantasy VII, you've got Crisis Core, you've got Advent Children, you've got Dirge of Cerberus. They all in that family of Final Fantasy VII, but they all had wildly different.
Yeah. So yeah, they're, it's just now unifying they're kind of, that message around what Resident Evil is. And I, you know, I personally like that. So obviously they're not going to redo Resident Evil 1 anytime soon. The games have been remade like 3 times, but they're using that as the framework. That's the base. And like, well, yeah. Resident Evil 1 is awesome. Let's work off that base framework. And we, rather than sort of creating these offshoots and stuff, you know, sort of different creators, will have a continuous voice.
Yeah.
You know, because in terms of media, right, nothing has demonstrated how important a cohesive and connected narrative like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, no other entertainment platform, whether it be games or movies or television, has been able to connect 21 plus movies into one consistent, continued narrative.
Mm.
And like, if you think about other games that have had these many, many sequels, like, you know, you like Final Fantasy VII as an example, but their model is very different.
Yeah, none of those are sequels. Yeah, yeah. I think there's been like 2 sequel games.
Yeah, 10 and 10-2, and I think 13 and something.
Yeah, but like, 13 had a few.
Yeah, but no other series has really done that. Like Metal Gear has, but it's still a fucking hot mess. I love it.
Metal Gear is always going to be a hot mess.
Yeah, but there's like, in terms of a continued narrative. Yeah. So I'm down with it. I'm down with the remake of 4 because they can tie it all in together.
It is starting to grow on me.
Then I'm hard.
Yeah. It is starting to grow on me. It does make sense.
Yeah, the second that I realized that they're going from a more story perspective rather than just like doing it because they can, that makes me happy. Because like 5 was shit. 6 I didn't even play because it was probably that shit. I love 7. So if they do happen to sort of bring it all and tidy together, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Reverend Park in the chat goes, 25 Bonds didn't get a flowing story until Daniel Craig. That is correct. Right? And then with Daniel Craig, they sort of established the idea that 007 isn't one person. It's a title and you become 007. So James Bond, Daniel Craig isn't James Bond. He becomes James Bond. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, how do you explain like a bunch of random fucking actors in throughout time being 007?
Boom. Mm. So devs are still raving over the PlayStation 5.
Ooh.
GamesBeat writes, quote, developers and publishers continue to praise the design of the PlayStation 5. Some have told GamesBeat that it has a better architecture than any console in history. Some devs are still commenting on the speed of the solid-state drive, while others have simply pointed out that the machine is a pleasure to work with. It's nice to hear something other than the super fast solid-state drive.
This is to add to what we talked about last week, right? Yeah. Where we're in a situation where they can just say whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, it's the best console we've ever seen. Really? Sure. Yeah, man, it's just because we can't see it, we can't prove it. It is not tangible. We're in that window of time where anyone can say anything about it.
Well, I mean, technically, we personally wouldn't be able to comment on the architecture and building for the PlayStation 5. Mm. So you kind of have to take the developers at their words that if
But
this-
who are the developers? Who are they? Like, are these people from like fucking Sucker Punch? Are people like who are these people?
That's true. It doesn't specifically tell you. It just states developers and publishers.
Yeah.
But
Speaking of PS5, though, recently there's been a story that came out of Press Start where they were showing these apparently recently updated patterns to the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
That shows like 6 fans or whatever. Couple things. A, that's a lot of fans, which is great because that has 1 fan and it's fucking loud. So the idea of like 6 fans can dissipate that 1 fan going nuts and have 6 fans going okay.
And what if it's 6 fans going nuts because it runs that hot?
That's brutal.
And then PlayStation 5 flies out the window.
Yeah, but that design is literal. Like, that pattern is literally for the dev kit.
Mm.
Like, because if you look at it and the people are like, oh, is this the PS5? I'm like, no.
Well, did you see they've also patented a different cartridge again?
Oh, really? Nice. Because like, this pattern specifically, because I did a little bit of back-end searching on it, the pattern was originally filed in November 2019, right?
Mm.
So like that was after these dev kits had been out in the wild, I'm pretty sure, or pretty close to. So it could be an amendment to an original pattern because it looks the same. It has the screens on the front. It has the 6 USB ports. It has the additional functionality buttons on the front. This is not what the consumer grade would look like. Like, yes, they've made changes to the pattern, but they've made a brand new pattern, but it's around the dev kit.
Yeah.
Like, because if we look at what the... Have you ever come across a PS4 dev kit in your times?
Yep.
Oh,
right. I've seen one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool. So yeah, so from times we've gone and had hands on with games and stuff. Yeah, like it's essentially, it looks like a fucking PC box on the side. It looks really boring and uninviting. It looks nothing like the PS4s that we see now.
No.
Not even close. And because they cannot make it a big chunky box, like the PS. So the Xbox One got obliterated for its VHS looking motherfucker, like. There is no way it can look like that dev kit. It is not possible. It's not happening. Like when you look at like whatever the Xbox Series X dev kit looks like, I guarantee it looks nothing like that fridge version that's about to come out.
I bet you it does. It'll just be a bigger fridge.
Yeah. You know what I mean, or it'll be a bit more flatter, right? Yeah. It's a different aesthetic to it. Like, granted, but I still love the design of the Series X.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Obviously, developer kits are designed to be functional and not be pretty.
Yeah,
like they're there to serve a function. There's why there's extra ports and all the extra functions that they have built into them, because that's what they need to do, because developers need to see in real time what's going on when they're working with it.
Yeah, and like from a consumer grade perspective, there's no reason a consumer would need six USBs on the front.
Do I want six USBs on the front? Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a fucking lot of USBs though. Like we're lucky, you know, three seems a good number, I suppose. But yeah, so this updated pattern around the PS5, I don't see. I've seen comments and things been like, you know, are they really doubling down on the dev kit? Like, no, of course the fuck they're not. Like that is not what we're gonna get. Just saying. Mm. Oh, and fun fact away, apparently, you can contact your local. Your local EB Games and put in an expression of interest around the next generation if you so wanted to.
And what does that do for you?
Just put you in the queue. Like, because they can't pre-order anything, but they'll have on record that you are interested. So when those pre-orders do become available, you sort of get shortlisted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I have to go talk to Tony at EB Geelong.
Mm.
I sent him a message. I'm like, hey, dude, I know you're work. I know, sorry to talk about work outside of work, but is this true? Can we do this? And I haven't heard about anything back yet, but we'll wait and see. But it, yeah, so apparently it can be done. And a good friend of the show, Padge, just sent me a message. JB Hi-Fi giving out like Last of Us picks, themed guitar picks. If you want them for some reason, you can go get them. I kind of want them. I don't really want to go JB though.
Well, speaking of Last of Us, let's talk about Last of Us 2 TV ad woes. So Last of Us 2 TV ads have launched on networks across the US, featuring Ellie singing a spot of New Order. The ad lasts for around 30 seconds.
It looks spectacular, by the way.
But the commercial has been accused of borrowing from a musician's original arrangement of New Order's True Faith. Both are effectively covers of New Order's song. It's clear that Kestner's version is a heavily adapted version of the 1987 original. Quote, "Your fans seem to have noticed because they're commenting on my old video thinking it's the same song. Credit? Compensation?" Her original tweet has been removed from Twitter.
I noticed.
You can't find that anymore.
Maybe they've settled.
To be fair, Naughty Dog is unlikely to have had too much involvement in the commercial, as it was probably handled by Sony's marketing team.
Yeah. And we know that Sony's marketing team have kind of done what they want in sometimes.
Yep.
What was it? The example being the old Killzone 2 or 3 footage. If they were like, this is the next kill. Like, no. Because I think Guerrilla came out like, no. That was a little tech demo that we did to sort of prove what we wanted Killzone to look like. But then Sony marketing got a hold of it and were like, this is it. And then they had to, fucking put that fire out. There's two ways you can look at this. A, they straight up fucking stole someone's music, which is very possible. Or, you know, that way. Like, it's not the original song, it's a cover of it, right?
Yeah, so it's someone else's cover of the original song.
Okay. But is it a brand new cover for the trailer?
I don't know.
Because, like, I understand if it's a cover that was made for the trailer, but, like, is there lyrics or is it just musically similar?
It's whatever the TV ad is. It's that song she's playing, that Ellie plays during the commercial, is that song.
Yeah, because she's playing it on guitar.
Yeah.
Oh, well, in that case, it's a musical cover. All right, cool. So like, I do wonder whether it's identical or is it a similarity?
So it says that they've noted, it seems that your fans have noticed some similarity to my composition of the original.
So
the person in question has made a cover of the original song, and that person's cover
sounds similar
to what is in the television ad.
Okay.
So it could be a cover of a cover.
I think it is that in that case, I think a benefit of the doubt, probably a little bit coincidental. You know, the same way, if, like the example that I use would be Bruno Mars and his Uptown Funk, right? Mm. He's tried to grab a very specific tone, a very specific time frame in music, right? And then people are like, well, this sounds like this band. Or, you know, like, well, it was like, yeah, because I'm influenced by those bands, right? Mm. So I took that sound and then I brought it over here. It's not the exact same sound, but it is that sound. So it's very possible that someone's heard that or heard the original and went, ooh, maybe I can like tone it down a little bit. And then, you know, there's only so many ways you can skin a cat. Right, so maybe it's very likely they've coincidentally had it line up to be sound similar. Now, granted, obviously, I presume there's been some sort of settlement. If that tweet's gone, maybe they've been like, hey, look, we'll admit there's similarities, not the intention, but let's settle this. And that's probably why the tweet's gone. You know, I'm giving benefit of the doubt here. It's very likely they could have just straight up fucking stole it. You know, because the other example is like in Uncharted 4, Naughty Dog were using a piece from like Assassin's Creed or something as like a temp picture for one of the frames, and then they had to like patch it out, which is funny. But one again, it's one of those things like forest. Like the difference here is that would be forest from the trees stuff, right? So when you're developing Uncharted 4, like we need a picture that looks kind of like this. All right, just chuck that in there now, and we'll come and so we know what we're looking for, and then we'll come back later and we'll do it. And then they forgot.
Yeah.
And then it's like the difference here is if like when Ubisoft were like, hey, that's our picture. If Naughty Dog were like, nah, that would be different. But then they've gone. Totally is. Yeah, so we put it there as a temp, we'll get it sorted, and it's gone.
Yeah.
That's the difference. But with this, I think this is a mark. I think this is a marketing thing.
Yeah.
It's like, benefit of the doubt, it's gray area. I guarantee it could be straight up plagiarism, who knows?
some quick bits. So, as I spoke about earlier, I've been playing Valorant. So, Valorant, the first-person shooter from Riot Games, is being prototyped for console launch after releasing for PC this week. That doesn't necessarily mean it will come to consoles, but
They're giving it a bell.
Bungie confirms June 9th date for its DLC reveal after they leaked it themselves the day before.
How do we control the leak? What if we leak it? Genius.
Kingdoms of Amalur is getting a remaster.
Oh, yeah. I haven't played it. Have you played it?
Yeah, I played it a little bit. I didn't really feel it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the remaster will capture me.
Maybe.
I
remember the cover of the game more than anything.
From their official Twitter page, quote, the rumors are true. Prepare for a re-reckoning because Kingdoms of Amalur is coming back. Remastered with stunning visuals and refined gameplay, it's soon time to experience an epic RPG journey and all of its DLCs like never before.
All right.
Cool.
Maybe I'll give
it. I think that was a THQ Nordic pickup.
Yeah.
I believe.
Actually, they did. It could be
one of the 119 titles they're apparently been working on.
So crazy. Anything else?
Oh, that's it, man.
Yeah, man.
That's it. So a lot of, unfortunately, because of everything that's going on in the world, have been a lot of delays for more information.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was a wise choice.
Yeah. Well, we don't like, yeah, because that's the news. This week's been very fucking dead. So we don't really have a main topic of conversation today. So this might be the end of it for this week, I think.
Let me double check the drop.
We don't even have a drop. There's been nothing. Maybe you can pull up VG247
from the merging of the US PlayStation and the EU PlayStation blogs. The drops just disappeared now.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like back in the day, like PlayStation Australia used to do the weekly where they would tell you what the best selling games of Australia were the week, and they just stopped doing it out of nowhere. I should reach out to back and be like, hey man, we used to really love it when you do this, could you do it again?
We're in June now, right?
Correct, Mundo. Is there anything for PS5 between the
PS4?
Sorry, from the 8th through to the 15th, I guess.
Yeah, so we have Samurai Showdown Neo Geo Collection coming to PS4 on June 11th.
Mm-hmm.
We have Beyond Blue June 11th, Desperados June 16th, and Disintegration June 16th.
I've heard things about this Disintegration. I've got some friends that are pretty keen on it. Do you know much about Disintegration?
No, I don't. But that's pretty much it, according to VGC. Yeah,
very, very quiet week.
A few things coming out on Switch. A few big things. But other than that, nothing much.
The Reverend Park, The Cure album? Nice.
Oh, sorry. Who's working on Iron Man VR?
Oh, Camouflage.
Camouflage tweeted earlier today that they have
gone gold.
Well, we reported on that last week. Yeah, they have gone gold. But a lot of people were complaining about the jank turning.
Yeah.
And now if you just hold the turn button, you do quick 180 instead of having to hit it twice.
Oh, to I'm bomb so hard.
Yeah. So you can do. You can now do quick 180s. They have put it in because people asked for it. And they're like, yeah, man, we got you.
Fucking A.
So I can't wait to fly in one direction, do a quick 180, throw up.
Like, true Iron Man fashion, bombing in your mask. But yeah, that's it. That's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We got nowhere to back end the show. There you go.
There you go. See you later. So this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to be part of future conversations, please head on over to our socials, our Facebook, Discord, Instagram, Twitter, all the links in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist like a good handful of people did today, including the likes of Reverend Pash, Puck, Dash, the Mad Dog. A bunch of other awesome folks came and hung out with us. If you want to support the conversation, support the show, you can by sharing the conversation with tell your friends, tell your families about this little PlayStation pod. Be sure to go to your podcast service of choice, 5-star rating, all that crap. Sub on YouTube if you've made it this far, or give it a thumbs up and all that stuff. You know, the bell notification, what is it? Hashtag notification squad.
Don't let your Twitch Prime subscriptions go unused.
Yeah, we'll take your Twitch Prime. We don't stream all that often, but we like 4 times a week. We'll take Twitch Prime. I don't give a shit. We'll take it. You know, you should be getting Prime right now, because Always Sunny in Philadelphia is finally on Amazon Prime. You should be watching it. And then when you do, you get a free Twitch sub. You should put that Twitch sub on here, and then we'll talk about Always Sunny all the time. That show is fantastic. If you want to support us financially, you can. Patreon.com/thepopculture, as well as our merchandise store. Popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Reasonably, there's a sale coming up in the next week or so. So if you're interested, check it out. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fan supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders: Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers: AJ Abatomi, Damien Holdies, Kyle Dunn, Lee Winterchauvin, Nathan Massetti, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, and Sean Levitt.